the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, resistance to this episode is futile.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so good, we brought back Internet Bad Boy himself.
Yeah.
Chris Geiger, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Hello, world.
Yeah.
Hello.
We're talking about the best of both worlds, part one.
And you have the best of both worlds, part two, here with me on this podcast.
No, yeah. That's next
that's
episode.
A different episode.
Oh, that's right. A different episode.
Right.
Yeah. Did you watch part two? Because we're going to be way
Yeah,
off.
I'm way ahead. yeah, I was here for the last Borg episode. And I'm
that's
here
right.
for this Borg episode.
Yeah.
I'm the Borg boy.
Internet
big
Borg
bad,
boy.
Big Borg bad Beetleborg boy.
Big bad Beetleborg.
Well, Chris, I'm going to let you take the fun fact this time.
Okay, yeah. So I introduced this fun fact while we were watching it, and I didn't know that it was true. It's like an old wives' tale that I always heard,
right.
Which is that the reason why Gates McFadden went onto the Borg ship with the away team was because she never fired a phaser before. And so she wanted, to fire a phaser for once, right?
Yeah.
And so
who wouldn't?
So she asked them to write her in doing that, and so they did, and that's why she was there because she didn't do anything else. She literally was as useful as Worf was there.
That's great.
And then I had you look it up,
and
I
was
so it's true.
And I was so nervous.
It really happened.
Yeah, I was so nervous that it wasn't true that I just said some crap.
Like, no, nope. That's a real fact.
Yeah,
according to Memory Alpha.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, then
hey, maybe, that's our Bible for this show.
Just don't.
If
just,
you could put anything in there, and I will read it, and I will reference it, because there are times where I will watch a show and totally forget what the fuck happened.
Just don't look up who added that fact, because
yeah,
you see Chris Geiger, Internet Bad Boy.
Oh no.
As the person who wrote that in.
Oh, man.
Internet Borg Boy.
Internet Borg Boy.
Yeah. Well, this came out June 18th, 1990, at the end of season 3.
Can you believe it?
Oh,
Three seasons.
Yeah. This is like, I think you said our 76th episode?
Something like that, 76 or 77.
Yeah. Man.
It feels like we just started doing this,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
We have a long way to go.
And we still do.
We're almost halfway.
Almost.
But this came out June 18th, 1990, and I'm going to read a very 90s headline with a very 90s problem that we've never had to deal with before.
I hope this is not Milli Vanilli again.
This is from the science and medicine section of the LA Times. Science, medicine, rise in sea levels projected. If Earth's temperature rises as much as some scientists project, sea levels may increase by 1 foot or more in some areas in the next 50 years, scientists said last week.
Oh, shit.
Using a computer model, German researchers examined the ocean's response to a global temperature increase of about 5.5 degrees Fahrenheit over 50 years if current rates of carbon dioxide emissions continue.
It's faster than that now.
Wow. Though.
I think it is.
Because it's already gone up a few degrees, and it hasn't been 50 years yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What climate change.
Climate change, dude.
No, I have no idea what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know.
What oh, my that? God. Are you trolling me right now?
What is climate change? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's been a thing for
wow.
some time.
Well, one wow. thing that everybody can agree on is that the climate is changing.
Yeah.
So now that's agreed.
Well.
But what's causing it?
Yeah.
Can't be it.
Well,
humans.
Let me just say one thing. It's hot in the summer and it's cold in the winter. So climate change, maybe. I don't know. When it's hot in the winter and cold in the summer, and then I think we'll know something.
Okay, then I'll call you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a headline in 1990.
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when my dad first read about climate change. He was,
oh, everyone
he was
thought this
yelling
stuff was
at the
nuts.
Newspaper.
Yeah. Like, right.
It's the dumbest thing I have ever read.
You want me to stop driving what now?
Yeah.
I got to stop driving my Eldorado?
Do you remember when we invaded Iraq and everyone was driving Humvees?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was insane yeah. that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Because gas prices were very cheap.
Yeah.
I was watching Me, Myself, and Irene the other day. It was on TV.
Talk about flashbacks.
Yeah. Gas, 98 cents.
Damn.
Dang. I love, there's a scene in Me, Myself, and Irene. This is the Me, Myself, and Irene cast.
Okay, yeah. This is a different podcast.
But it's one of my favorite.
Irene Trek.
It's one of my favorite scenes where he's like fighting himself in a car.
Oh, yes.
And he's like fighting himself in the mirror, the driver, rear view mirror. And he throws himself out of the car and then gets up, runs, and gets back into the car and then adjusts the rear view mirror and sees himself back on the street. And it is like one of the best sticks of physical comedy I've seen. It's so funny.
Speaking of throwing yourself out of a car, let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, great segue.
Thanks.
So as we said, this is the best of both worlds. Volume 1. So, Chris, you were on the last episode where we had the Borg.
Yeah.
Now,
way back in season 2.
Q-Whoomps. The Enterprise is now responding to a distress call at the edge of Federation space, this distant colony. And I think that there was like a hint that the Borg were going to the edge of Federation space at the end of the last one.
They've been hinting like either the Klingon or the Romulan empires. Like one of them have been losing, I think it might have been a Klingon empire, was losing colonies or something like that over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's some of that stuff they're talking about at the beginning, and then they never end up on that mission. And the stuff, Patrick, you and I quickly skip over, apparently had a bunch of hints that we should have been listening to.
Probably. I don't pay attention.
Yeah,
clearly.
But yeah, Worf is, they're in the transporter room, and like Worf and Riker and people are there, and Worf is saying that the colony, New Providence, they haven't had any...
Rhode Island.
Yeah, in Rhode Island, at the edge of the universe.
Me, Myself, and Irene reference.
Oh, yeah.
They have had no contact for 12 hours. So the away team goes down. It looks like the Earth has been scooped up.
Right.
This massive, well, it's a painting, but a massive crater.
Wait, what?
It was clearly a set piece painting.
I'm not sure about that. It was a colony and it was gone.
Yeah.
This is
suspend
real.
Suspend your
really
disbelief.
Happening.
Really happening.
This will really happen in the future.
Climate change, fake. This colony, real.
But they have no life signs, no inhabitants, no survivors, no evidence that there's a colony ever there. It's all been taken. In the next scene we have, the Enterprise is standing next to this other starship, a slightly smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Captain Hansen and... Shelby, who's this woman who is his first officer.
Admiral.
Oh, it's Admiral Hansen.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You don't get that gold piping on your shirt without being an admiral.
You don't get that deep V.
Yeah, you don't get that deep V and like that gold lame.
So Hansen is this older guy, and Shelby, his first officer, is a blonde woman. They're in the ready room, and Captain Picard is there, and they're talking about like what happened here. There was another system on the edge of Federation space that had a similar problem, and they're like, we're pretty sure that this is the Borg.
But seems a lot like the Borg.
It seems like something they would do.
But they've got here a lot faster than we first suspected.
And Shelby is
kind of like climate change.
Right. But Shelby is like, okay, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to figure this out. I've been eager to do this for a long time. She seems like she's eager to get involved in this mission, even though it seems really dangerous.
Gung ho.
Yeah. And
Hungry.
Riker invites people to poker, and Hansen is like, no, you should take Shelby. She's great. And he's like, oh, okay. And so they leave, and then Hansen is like, I'm really horny for her. And Picard's like, all right. This is almost exactly what happened. He literally calls it old man's fantasies.
Yeah, he calls it an old man's fantasy.
It's strange how passing of a line that is.
Yeah.
Because at first, I thought that he was talking about her abilities and skills.
Right. Yeah.
And then Picard goes, you seem very taken with her.
Yeah.
And that's when
he's like, I'm horny.
Right. That's not what he said.
I'm 87.
Yeah, just like, an old man's fantasies.
Yeah. Picard's like, okay, do you want some tea?
Yeah
sure. And they're having tea. And Hansen is like, hey, so is Riker going to take that commission? And Picard doesn't know what he's talking about. And it turns out Riker has been offered the captain's chair at the USS Melbourne.
Yes.
And he hasn't taken it, and he's like held off the decision for so long. And Hansen is like, look, he's been given, this is the third time.
One for every season.
Mm-hmm. He has been offered a position, and he's turned all these down, and pretty soon he's not going to be offered it.
Right.
I mean, it's a running theme for Riker. He's way too qualified to be a first officer. You know?
Right.
I mean, this is never a problem that like they had in like the original series, because like Spock and Bones, who are like the de facto number one, number two, were always like so high up in their respective tracks.
Well, and I think Spock, it was racism.
True.
One.
Yeah.
He was
a
Vulcan.
Yeah.
He was the first Vulcan in the in the Federation.
Was he the first one?
I believe he was the first to serve.
Mm. Damn.
Yeah. Now they
that would be crazy, because like the Vulcans have been in like they're like
one the Vulcans
founding,
let
they were like
in.
One of the founding of species of the Federation.
Well, okay, I guess to serve on a human vessel.
Okay,
that might cut it. But yeah, Riker's
although Enterprise totally flips that, because doesn't T'Pel isn't like there's like a
oh yeah
there's like a Vulcan in that. I don't know. Maybe they retcon it. I don't know. There's probably someone in an internet comment that's yelling at you right now.
Yeah. Thanks.
We're watching original series right now, though, and I swear they say that he's the first Vulcan.
Maybe they're yelling
to
serve. At me, but don't yell at me because I'm an internet bad boy. Take it to town.
I'll troll
you. You can't handle it. Hansen is like, look, you got to tell him to take this position. Otherwise, his career is going to be all messed up. And then in the next scene, we see Shelby talking to Riker about this thing, and she's like, look, I have this theory about a Borg footprint, and I want to select a crew to go down there. I'm going to select it. And these are both people with the same rank, and they're just kind of like butting heads. And he's like, no, I'm going to do that. I'm the guy that does that.
This is my ship.
And I mean, he's right, though.
Yeah,
like,
this is the Enterprise.
Ship. Yeah.
It's his crew.
It's his crew. It's his command.
And she just flat out says, I want your job.
All right.
You know,
When you leave.
Because she assumes that he's going to take the position.
Because he should.
But he doesn't know that she knows that he's been offered. Yeah. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I will let you know if I take it.
Right.
But I like it here. It's pretty good. And so now there is a real tension between these two people, because they are at odds.
I love this tension.
Well, they're both so much alike.
Yeah.
She is
Riker.
She's young. She's Riker of two seasons ago.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, she acts the exact way that Riker acts in the very first
before
season.
Before Riker got a beard.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Pre-beard.
She's pre-beard Riker.
So the next scene, they're all at poker, and Shelby is there too. And they're playing poker, and like they trick Wesley into making a stupid bet. I don't really know how poker works. I'm pretty terrible at it.
Are you kidding me?
They play five card stud.
Okay,
right? So they have all of their cards out, and they have like
except for
one card.
Yeah,
which is the card they'll show their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everyone sees four cards.
Oh,
and then
you
have one card that you are.
Okay, so Riker bluffs Wesley. I know that.
Because
he loses.
Because Riker has basically a straight, right? He has like a straight.
Except for the one in the he needed the one in the hole.
But he needed the one in the hole to make the straight.
Okay, but he doesn't have it.
But everyone else is seeing it, and they're like, oh, he's got it.
So Wesley loses that, but then Shelby calls his
bluff.
And
he has like three jacks or something like that.
And she
wins. It's like Texas Hold'em, but you don't have a communal.
Yes, you have your own.
Okay, see, I've played Texas Hold'em before.
Right.
All
right,
but Shelby wins because she calls Riker's bluff.
And and she only had a pair.
Two pair.
Yep. Did she have two pair?
She had two pair.
Oh, two pair.
Someone on the internet's yelling at you now.
poker
heads.
The old poker buds.
Some dude that wears sunglasses 24/7.
And he has a search feature just for poker.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, I don't even know what this nerd crap is, but I hear someone's talking about poker somewhere.
Yeah. So Shelby and Riker are butting heads yet again, because she has beamed down to the planet. Because Riker goes into the transporter room, and Miles O'Brien is there, and he's like, hey, where did everyone go? And he's like, oh, she outranks me. She had a team. And it's Data and Geordi. So
I wasn't even supposed to be here
today. He's like, I let him go down. I'm sorry. And Riker's pissed, and he goes down there. And Shelby is scanning the ground, and she says, oh, early bird gets the worm. And Riker's like, can I talk to you over here for a second? Data has no idea what early bird gets the worm means. He's like, she has air. There are no worms in this soil. And
I kind of love throughout this whole episode, Data is just like a bystander to all of this
stuff.
Yeah. He's like, he doesn't get any tension whatsoever.
Nope.
He's just like, yeah,
he can't pick up on it.
Yeah,
why like, would they be fighting? They're on the same team.
Yeah,
I don't get
exactly.
it. But Geordi's like, no, man, she messed up.
Yeah.
And Riker takes her aside to basically yell at her.
Yeah.
That like, look, you can't go over my head like this. Why did you do this? And she says, look, there is a storm coming in 3 hours. If I would have waited for you, that would waste valuable time. I'm sorry. In the future, I will contact you. But yeah. We found the footprint. My theory was correct. This was definitely the Borg.
It would not have taken that much time.
To figure that out?
I think they would have immediately gotten it.
It would have gone. Right.
Beep.
Yeah.
Yo, Riker, a storm's coming.
Exactly.
We got to go now.
Yeah.
I think, all right, I'll leave the holodeck. I'm on my way.
Yeah. I mean, I think she just wanted to get the glory of finding the stuff before Riker did.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Because it wouldn't. It took her, what, like an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she still would have beat the storm.
Yeah.
Right.
The storm was still 2 hours out.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, Shelby, do the math.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now that they know that it's the Borg, by this time, Admiral Hansen has gone back to some, like, starbase somewhere.
To creep on another lady.
Yeah, creep on someone else. But they're talking, like, strategy, because right. Starfleet has to figure out how to deal with this shit.
And they now 100% know it's
the Borg. Yeah, for sure. And the Enterprise is kind of all by itself, orbiting this planet,
mm-hmm.
with maybe the Borg incoming.
Right.
But they know that they're in trouble. All the horrible stuff that we thought was going to happen the last time that we saw the Borg is about to happen. Picard is talking to Riker, and Riker's like, look, she knows her stuff. She's brash. She's bold. But she's a loose cannon, basically. Like, they're doing like this classic cop routine. It's like, I don't trust her, but damn if she's not a great cop. And Picard's like, oh, so like you,
yeah,
2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you were like, Riker.
And
do,
like just
do you
yesterday,
not
even. Like,
yeah, and
you
also
were...
you're like this all the time.
Right.
By the way, why haven't you taken that captain's chair yet?
Right.
And he's like, well, are you making me go? He's like, I'm not making you, but your career depends on this. Like, you should probably... take this position.
You cannot refuse a promotion 3 times.
The other thing, though, like the thing about this episode that always makes me uncomfortable is this is like the first realization to me in the Star Trek universe where like there is you have a career.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like
it's not a thing that you just do.
Yeah, it's not like the altruistic representation of humanity in the future where it's, oh, you just do whatever you're naturally good at.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, you are an explorer, you're an explorer. You're good at this, you're good at this. But it's more like, no, even though there's no money and there's no, like,
the prestige
wealth,
is still, everything.
Prestige
you
is still
have
value.
To leave a legacy.
Yeah, and, like, there are still the human values of narcissism and stuff like that.
And
that
Picard has a maneuver named after
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
What has Riker done?
Right.
Just stood in the shadows of a great man.
Right.
Yeah, but Riker is saying, no, I'm happy here. I have no intention of doing it. And then Picard's like, I want you to reconsider. And then the next scene, Riker's talking to Troy. In
smash cut, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't done a smash cut like that
yeah.
before.
They did some camera work that is not what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this.
They went all out.
But he's
yeah,
talk-
it felt more like a movie.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah.
It does.
He's talking to Troy, and Troy is like, she tells him the same thing about Shelby. Like, she is you 2 years ago. And you've grown, you've seasoned a little bit, and he kind of bristles at that. Yeah. He's like, I'm not old.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's a bad thing to say to a man.
Yeah. But she's like, look, Riker, you have to look at what you want. And just from my perspective, you're happier than I've ever seen you on the Enterprise. But, you know, this is, like Picard has said, this is a huge move for your career. So
right.
you need to sit down and talk about what you want.
Yeah, and this is a common life problem, right? You
yeah.
get comfortable in what you're doing.
Exactly.
You
Everybody
like
has
what,
to deal with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you like what you're doing.
We've all done that at jobs.
Like I was saying while we were watching the episode, I think like the writer of this episode was going through that feeling too, which is why he wrote Riker the way he did.
So the writer, that's Michael Piller, right?
Yeah, it's Piller. Yeah.
So he was
he didn't know
thinking
if he,
it was time to move on from Star Trek?
He didn't know if he was coming back, and he... basically wrote this, so he didn't even write the second part of this episode. They didn't even know how they were going to write out of it. He literally wrote this episode and thinking he was going to go.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and so like the whole episode was basically his inner monologue of whether or not he was going to stay with the show or not.
That's fantastic.
Which is really great. Damn. It's very. It makes it super personal. Like it's right. one of like the more
personal. Relatable.
It's yeah, and it's very relatable to everyone's feelings. You know, like whenever they're in this sort of situation.
It's interesting too because the Borg in this episode are a little bit different.
Yeah.
And that's because the original creator of the Borg is now gone from the show.
Oh. Right. Speaking of the Borg being different, we do get to learn a little bit more about them in this next bit here because they're in engineering and Shelby is there and Geordi and Wesley and Riker and they're talking about like, okay, how do we defeat these people if we have to confront them?
They're not people, dude.
Well, this thing, this collective being.
Yes, it's
this
IKEA.
This beehive.
It's IKEA.
Right.
It's the Borg.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Once you're in, you're trapped in resistance.
You're trapped forever.
Yeah.
You're assimilated.
Yeah, you're assimilated. You become one of them.
But what they say...
Oh, my God. I have a polo on all of a sudden.
Oh, no. Sausage. I got these meatballs.
But what they say, though, is that they have all
What's
these...
What's this tiny wrench doing in my pocket?
I got Allen wrenches for arms.
That's awful. Yeah. But that is basically what they have.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yeah.
The other thing they have is like these interdependent power sources.
Right.
Where it's like all over the ship. They have these tiny power sources. So if one goes out, the other ones can kick in. And you would have to destroy 78% of the cube for it to be inoperable.
Right.
Yeah.
It can still keep going even... if the vast majority of the ship is destroyed because it just has these independent generators.
How much smarter is that than just one warp core?
Oh,
right. Because if you take out the warp core, that's it.
Yeah, you're done. Cooked.
So they're like, well, we got to figure out how to do this. And Geordi and Wesley are like, look, we haven't slept for days.
Right.
We got to rest.
My brain is clay.
And
what they say.
And Shelby's like, nope, got to figure out how to do it. And Riker... tries to overrule her and they fight again and then finally he just dismisses her. It's like, look, gotta let these people rest. They're human beings. They aren't Borg. Gotta let them do their jobs.
Well, and I love this scene because she goes, but what if the Borg attack tomorrow? We're not gonna be ready.
Right.
And then his response is, if you're fatigued, we're not
gonna
be ready.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You need to get sleep.
It's really great because I feel like every decision that Shelby makes in this episode, even though it's really annoying, is exactly what Riker would have said.
Yep.
Is exactly what Riker would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. Every single one. It is like Riker's conscience fighting him.
Right.
You know, like the whole time. He would have gone to the planet before that storm.
Yes.
Without Picard saying something. Without saying something to Picard. And he learned not to do that. He learned to tell Picard stuff, right?
Because that time he was stuck out in the desert, he's like, anybody?
Yeah. Like, he would have been like, I'll stay up with Data and I'll figure this out. And
right.
Picard would have told him, no, you need to go to bed because I don't want you to die. I don't want us to die because you're tired,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
He's learned.
The next day, though,
he's seasoned like French fries.
And just like Riker. It sometimes works, like when she went down the planet and figured stuff out. She was right in that they should have worked on weapons overnight because little did they know, you know.
Well, the question is she right? If they would have worked on weapons overnight,
right?
They were saying it's still going to be 18 months before they
right.
solved.
Yeah, you're totally
so right. they would have just been tired, although been a day ahead,
right?
So,
but it doesn't matter.
Potato, potato.
It doesn't matter because, like, it's the next day they get a distress call.
Well,
right?
you also wonder, like, and this is, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but, like, she does, like, tell Data to modulate the weapons, right? Which does separate them from the fight with the Borg, right?
Yes.
And there's a potential she would have figured that out overnight, and they would have saved the lives of those people that had died in the engineering.
Oh, crap!
You know?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So, like...
But didn't they already know to modulate the weapons from Q Who?
They did know to modulate them,
but what frequency.
But not the frequency.
Okay.
And not having Data do it to counteract their speed, you know?
Okay.
So, like...
Yeah.
So I buy it.
She was right there, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
With, like, refitting the ship, it wouldn't work, because the next day they get a distress call that's like, hey, this other ship, it encountered an alien. Please come help. And Picard is talking to Admiral Hansen, and Hansen is like, look, we're sending as many ships as we can to you. But it's going to be like 6 days.
Yeah.
You're the only one there. Sorry. Please try to deal with this as best you possibly can.
Right.
No mention of all the families on the ship,
right?
By the way.
Yeah, and everyone's
gone. It's almost certainly a suicide mission.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, like,
well, they all know that in
die.
The room.
Right.
Yeah.
But no one's saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Aren't there women and
maybe
children?
Right. You should jettison all of these people on their shuttles. You know?
Nope, they don't do that. Everyone's got to go to their battle stations and... Picard is talking to Geordi. He's like, hey, so...
I want to retcon that. I don't mean women and children. That's like an old phrase from the army.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, yeah. Spouses.
Civilians
are on the ship.
Yeah, they got a lot of civilians.
Yeah.
And
they should just put them in
the
shuttles.
I don't know why
or...
they didn't drop these people off before investigating what
put
they
them
were
on the,
pretty
put them
sure
on the,
was a Borg thing.
Put them on the Excelsior 6 or whatever
is the
ship that was the Admiral brought. The Admiral comes and is like, oh, you guys are definitely going to be fighting them.
Right. Drop off your civilians and kids.
Yeah, why don't you put all your civilians?
They did not do that.
Your families and stuff. Like,
but yeah, they're going to battle stations, and Picard's talking to Geordi. Is like, okay, can we be ready? What's the situation down in engineering? And Geordi's like, it's not good. Like, we got to completely retrofit all of the power stations and all this stuff. I don't think we're going to be ready in time. And they're warping towards this. Possible Borg cube, and then it turns out yes.
Oh yeah,
definitely
a Borg cube.
Definitely a Borg cube. That huge, terrifying thing that cut out a pie slice of the Enterprise the last time that they encountered it.
Yeah,
they had the great line: "Send a signal to HQ. We have engaged the Borg."
Yes, you know, and then that is like an awesome. If they're watching this with commercials in the 90s,
that's a cliffhanger. Commercial, for sure.
This episode has so many of those moments.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're on the edge of your seat going, oh, boy. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
Will Geordi do a tumble, or will he not do a tumble?
We'll get
to that part. So, yeah, the Borg Cube and the Enterprise are now facing off, and Picard, is hailed by the Borg.
Yeah.
And they're like,
what?
Okay, I guess we'll answer. By the way, they do not know if this is the same cube that they encountered the last time, or a different one. They all kind of look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they all are made of, like, kind of the same parts.
IKEA. Here's
where I have a little bit of beef with the Borg.
Okay.
I don't know if now is the appropriate time.
A Borg beef?
Go ahead. Bring up the Borg beef.
Here's my Borg beef. You can get that at IKEA.
Yep.
Borgen beef.
Borgen beefing.
Okay. Everything's the same, right? Like, structurally, they're the same. They have one group mind. They're all like one assimilated group collective.
Uh-huh.
Why do they all look different?
Mm-hmm. Well, aren't they?
Wouldn't their bodies and the technology on every body therefore be the same?
But when you see them, they assimilate different people from other.
Also, but they add technology to each person.
I thought they were all supposed to serve specific functions.
So they're different classes of Borg.
They're not like a battle Borg.
They all can fight, but like I think mechanically they're all supposed to do different things. Also, like the different parts look cooler.
Yeah.
So like
that's what I'm gonna say. It looks cool.
Yeah. I just think
they're all
you're
like little
have,
bionicles.
Yeah.
Walking
if you
around.
Have a super race,
right.
That their power is they can be a collective all
right.
together,
well,
and they're all completely interchangeable with one another. Yeah. They would all have the same pieces, wouldn't they?
We could spend
the IKEA principle.
I think we could spend the whole day like discussing it.
It's because it looks cool.
I don't know like why this one arm with the wiggly things does a different thing than the other arm with the wiggly things.
Well, the other arm has a circular.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Like a service, but maybe like they all service different functions, and they're ostensibly supposed to be like biological components are meaningless. Like that's like not the important part at all.
Right.
Like
so the technology.
Borg, the Borg is like the robot parts. So maybe like.
Again, if you buy the legs to a table at IKEA, most of the time you're buying the same sets of legs and putting them on different tables.
Yeah, but sometimes like some meatballs make me sick and some meatballs don't make
That's
me sick.
That's the biological part. It doesn't matter.
And sometimes the part...
All right, we can move on.
Yeah. But yeah, what matters here, though, is Picard is being told by the Borg collectively, give yourself up to us or we're going to destroy your ship. That's the ultimatum here.
Right.
And he does not take it. He's like, we're going to fight you to the end. But then the Borg is like probing their ship because Picard tells them, since last time we met you, we changed our technology. So you don't know if he can take us or not.
Yeah.
All right, mess with the shields because we definitely can't take them. And Geordi is like modulating the shields as the Borg is scanning it. And it works for a second and then doesn't work. And they get caught in this tractor beam. They try to shoot phasers at the tractor beam, and it doesn't work. And then they just, like, shoot part of engineering with the laser and just cut open a big piece of it.
Oh, man,
and everyone's
awesome.
Got to evacuate, and this is where Geordi does a tuck and roll under a door that is 7 feet above his head.
And moving very slowly.
Moving very slowly.
It's like doing a tuck and roll under a garage door.
Right.
When you just hit the button.
Yeah, like.
There is no need.
Like, that scene stuck in my head for years after I saw this episode.
Well,
like,
what's funny about it, too, is he's flat-footed running around, yeah. like, waving people out. Yeah. Like that door,
he could have very easily stepped over to the other side of the door and then waved people yeah. out. But he stepped over, waved people out, and then did a tumble under.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. like why are you going to risk it? Why are you going to? You're the chief engineer. Why are
it,
you gonna-
again? Like the board, because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And is the only side that the switch is on is the side that traps you
yeah,
in.
Yeah, right.
Like you can't press the button on the other side.
I remember a friend of mine is an engineer who talked about Star Wars. Sorry to talk about Star Wars for a second. But like when you shoot a door and it fails close.
Right.
Like when you shoot, if you shoot a door panel and the door closes, he's like, that is like fundamentally engineering. Like you don't want to do that. Like,
right.
Right.
Like
if
things break.
Right. Yeah. So if your panel breaks, you want the door to fail open.
Open.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, but it's not as cool to shoot yeah. the panel and have the door open.
Right.
You want to shoot the panel and have it closed.
But Jordy gets through and he makes it to the bridge.
In the nick of time.
In the nick
yeah.
of
oh,
time.
Yeah. It was so close.
Yeah.
It was so close.
But he makes it to the bridge. He's like, we lost 11 people.
Yeah.
And then, but.
Eight are unaccounted for.
Eight are.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They're definitely dead. They lost 19 people.
Well, and the other thing is, something that has been established in Star Trek is you can say, where is Riker?
Right.
So if someone's unaccounted for,
they're in the holodeck.
They're gone.
Right.
They're completely gone. They're right. off the ship.
Yeah, you can ask the ship where they are.
Hey, right. where is unaccounted for person?
Right.
Right.
If she doesn't give you a response,
right.
they're dead.
They're gone.
So-and-so is no longer on the ship.
But they're able to get to a nebula in time. They escape. They break free. And they're trying to, like, lose the Borg cube in this massive cloud of dust.
Well, because they shoot the beam, the tractor beam, with
right.
the modulated phaser.
Right.
Oh, yes.
It messes up with the sensor in this nebula, so that's why they're in there. And they're in the observation lounge, and they're trying to work out, okay, what did we do that worked? What did we do that didn't work? And what they did that worked is for a brief second, when they shot the phaser with the modulated thing, it shut down the tractor beam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it fixed itself pretty quickly, but they know that at this one particular frequency, the phasers can affect the Borg cube. So they're trying to figure out a way where they can do like a concentrated energy blast, and it's some like dish that's on the ship.
Right.
The problem is, if you divert that much energy to the dish, it will blow up the ship.
Yes.
So they're trying to figure out a way that they can do this without blowing up the Enterprise.
And it's specifically introduced as, like, just one, like, tiny problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
yeah.
A, it's
just a small detail.
Just a small detail that we will all die.
Yeah.
And they were all like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Like, well, if it saves humanity.
Right, but
there's also
their families
right.
and, like, kids.
Well, this is how they try to, one way to get around it is Shelby says, what if we split up the saucer and the battle part of the ship?
Which she's right.
Which she's right. You should have done that. But the reason she says that is to give him two targets.
Right. She does it for the exact wrong reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And Riker's like, I don't think we should do that because we need the impulse power from the saucer.
Like, yeah.
And that is a crazy idea. But I will include it in my report to the captain that I will give. So he goes to report to Picard. And he finds Shelby already in there telling the captain about his plan.
Like, now that is something Riker would never have done.
No. She
no
went totally
way.
Over his head.
That's a bad move.
And Picard is like, look, I will consider it as a backup. This is not my first choice, but that is not a terrible idea. So if we get into a pinch, sure, we'll do it. And Riker is not happy about this. They go into a turbo lift, and he's like, they're yelling at each other, and Shelby's like, oh, they're all doing this like very formally though, because they're both.
He really lays into her, like
yeah.
he's really mad at her, and he doesn't do that often on the show,
right?
Where he like dresses mm-hmm. down.
He's like
someone.
Been personally insulted
right.
by this,
yeah.
And then finally she's like, how does it feel? How long are you going to stay in the shadow of a greater man?
Right.
Damn,
awesome, dude. Deep cut, but
cruel.
Awesome.
Like, he gets owned. Like,
yeah,
like,
he deserves
Riker
it.
Riker gets owned so hard in that turbo lift.
Well, I think he's earned it, though, because he has become complacent with his
yeah.
career.
But I do think the one thing that he says is correct. She's like, you don't take enough risks.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't. That's right. I have thousands of people
right.
whose lives depend on me. I love this this ship. I love the people on it. I'm not going to needlessly risk their lives. That's my job, is to protect them. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm sorry that it's not, like, brash enough for you, but I'm trying not to get everyone on this fucking ship killed.
Hell yeah.
And
great scene. Both right?
They are,
like,
in a way.
That's the thing, is, like, they're both right.
Well, yeah, because they're talking about two different things.
Well, it's because...
One is, like, what's the right move to do today? And the right. other one is, what are you doing with your life?
Right. This is that writer. That writer's having
yeah,
his
exactly.
inner argument.
He's having a really hard time.
He had a really hard time with this episode.
In the next scene, Picard is touring the ship because it's like part of this ritual, I guess, in the Navy to tour the ship the day before battle. And he goes into 10 forward and he talks to Guinan. And
we haven't seen her in a while.
Totally forgot that Guinan's people were attacked by the Borg.
Yep.
And she tells him, look, they attacked my planet, but I'm still here. And my people are still here. We're scattered all over the galaxy, but we survived. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You could win. I'm not going to lie. It's against you.
It's some cold-ass comfort, though, to be told, like, well, you'll lose your planet, and... You know, everyone will be scattered to the wind, but, you know, humanity's spirit will live on.
Right. Like, no, it's like you're going to have a huge diaspora, but, you know.
Everything that you know as you know it now will be not true.
Yeah,
and be
it's
like,
going to be awful. Yeah. You're not going to have, like, all your friends are probably going to die. You might not die. Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to die.
You're probably going to die.
Your family might not.
Yeah. I mean, no, they're probably going to
die. If they live on Earth, they're going to die.
There'll be a handful of you who survive, and that's cool, because that's what happened
to me. And that's the spirit. That's the light. And one of you can maybe someday serve on a Klingon vessel as, like, as a bartender until the Klingons are destroyed by the Borg.
That's so true. That's what I was thinking in that scene, too, is it's just a matter of time before everyone's dead.
Yeah, right.
Yep. This horrible conversation is interrupted by an explosion because some, like, probe homing devices or something that's trying to seek them out and find them, found them, and blew up outside the hull.
Mm-hmm.
So Picard's got to go.
They're like depth charges.
And they're just draining the shields.
Yeah. Yep. And Picard's got to go up to the bridge.
It's like burning a fox out of its hole.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're being hunted right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the cube finds them and is chasing them. It's trying to, like, get them in a tractor beam and
stuff. Well, they're going at, like, warp 9.6 or something.
Right, which the Enterprise can't go beyond warp 9.
Yeah.
And
they've tried it, and everyone's died whenever they have.
But, yeah, they're being hit by this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even worse, these Borg, like, things get up on the bridge.
Yeah, Borg.
Borg themselves.
Yes, Borgignites.
Yeah.
Borgonauts.
They shoot one with a phaser. Remember, they had modulated them to the correct thing, and it kills it. And then the other one that they try, it has a shield now.
Right.
And they yell, I forget who points out that, they've evolved. They like, adapted. Immediately they adapted to this frequency, and we have to find another one.
Yep, right.
And they grab Picard. They shoot a thing into his neck, and he gets knocked out. And then they all,
one like beams like right next to him.
Yep,
just like disappears and then zonk, gone.
But they're gone.
That's what I love about this scene is that the Borg are always learning. And if you look at it, every time they teleported onto the bridge, they got closer to Picard.
Right.
Their whole goal was just to get Picard. Yeah. They didn't care about anything else.
Right.
Also, what I love about this scene is Riker, after he tries to shoot them with his phaser, he runs up to punch one.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt and
then
style.
And then gets walloped. I mean, it's a great, like, repudiation of all that you know about Star Trek, right? Like, these guys, they don't take a punch. You don't just beat them up.
No,
like,
you can't.
You don't just shoot them.
Nope.
They are relentless. It's like fighting the ocean. Right? You can go out there and wave your hands at the waves.
You know, that was a hot thing that we talked
about. Yeah, I talked about beating up the ocean and no one knew what I was talking about.
Oh, really?
I remember I didn't. And then we got a lot of tweets about, like, you idiots. Everybody fights the ocean.
Everyone fights the ocean as a kid. Artie, the strongest man in the world, fought the ocean.
Exactly. That was in Pete and Pete.
You must have been the guy on the podcast that, on the episode, that got this heat.
I don't know. I was the one that said it. No one knew what it was.
No idea, but I swear I heard that example.
Anyway, fighting the Borg is like beating up the ocean.
Maybe I said that in the last Borg episode. Who knows?
But yeah, they got Picard.
I mean, it's even harder now because the tides are rising with climate change.
Oh, wait, what's that?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. But
they got Picard, and they can't track him exactly where he is because they interfered with it, and they now find the Borg cube is headed to Earth. On the Borg cube itself, Picard is like being taken in by these Borg dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, here's the deal.
Borgers sound, it sounds so chill. Hey, man, here's we don't want to have to do this, but look, my boss is saying.
Yeah, he's on my ass. Yeah. Look, you can't fight us. You can't defeat us.
Says specifically, resistance is futile.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah.
And
which is iconic for the Borg, but new for this episode.
Right.
And Picard is like, it doesn't matter. We're going to fight you to the death. And they're like, death doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah, you can die. Sure. We don't care.
Irrelevant. Death is irrelevant.
We're going to take everything that you got. We will take your very bodies.
Yeah.
And you specifically, Picard, we found that you are the captain of the strongest ship in this Navy here. And we need a human voice.
Yeah.
We can't just yell at people through a beehive all the time.
Which so, I don't know why. I mean, they can.
I guess
right?
they could. Like,
I mean, we understood what was going
they
on.
Want him, they want him to be a diplomat, basically. And they're sure. like, we're going to take you.
Right. Yeah.
On the Enterprise, Geordi is talking to Riker. They're on the bridge, and he's like, look, we're almost at the point where we can mess with this dish deflector thing to be a weapon, but we got to divert power from the warp engines. It's really dangerous. I need a little more time. So Riker sets up this away team to go get Picard and get him back on the ship so they can finish the job here.
Finish the fight.
And Shelby is like, well, I got to go. And Riker's like, no, I'm not going to let you. And Troy interrupts this and says, hey, Riker, you know you're the captain now, right?
Dummy.
Yeah.
You can't go.
Yeah,
you're not allowed off the ship.
Yeah,
so Shelby,
you got all up in Picard's grill for this all the time.
All the time. So Shelby is going to be on the way team, with Data, and Worf,
and
Gates McFadden.
Why is Beverly
Crusher
here?
Because she never got to fire a phaser.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with the story. I understand.
She wanted to fire a phaser. She gets to fire a phaser.
But why would you bring a doctor onto the Borg ship?
She gets to fire a phaser.
I guess if you're trying to rescue...
maybe it's a medical emergency. You know?
I don't know. It seems like you're risking the head of your medical your department. You're sending them to almost certain death.
Yeah. This is a combat mission.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, send soldiers.
Like, yeah. But they go there, and Data points out, it's like, you know, the last time we were here, the Borg just didn't give a shit.
Right.
They just kind of wander around, do whatever they're programmed to do, and they do not notice that you're there.
Right.
So let's just go there. Let's find Picard. And let's get out of there.
Yeah.
And
right.
While they're there, they see all these like nodes and stuff.
Oh, I love the way the Borg ship looks now.
Yeah.
It looks so
much better.
So much better. Like the last time is this huge like open square. And this is more like claustrophobic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Creepy.
Like it's less like balconies that you're walking along and more like enclosed spaces.
Yeah. Right. And the ground, instead of being like black gymnasium floor.
Yeah, like speckled linoleum.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. It's this graded stuff where they have like an underlight coming out. It looks great.
Because the old Borg set definitely looked like a set.
Yes.
Like it looked like a room in a set, right?
Right.
Whereas this looks like still a set, but like crazy looking.
Well, and that is one of the things I read on Memory Alpha while looking up the Gates McFadden fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
They had learned from last time. I guess they spent all this time working on the set, and they weren't very happy with it.
Right.
And they were trying to do is, like, we can do this a little bit better if we're a little bit smarter about where we put all of these tubes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because before it was, like, a repeating tube pattern.
It was was like a plasticky pattern. Like,
and now it's, like, closed in.
Yeah. With laser tag home bases.
Yeah, so those laser tag home bases are like what directs the Borgs to do their tasks. And they're like, okay, let's blow those up while we're here.
Right.
Just, you know, something, a little something to help.
A little something to do.
A mosquito. Yeah.
Let's think like the mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well, they find, they
Dr.
also find,
Crusher says.
They also find Picard's uniform.
Yeah, so they've been tracking his
communicator.
His communicator, and they find a drawer with just his uniform there. So
he's running around naked somewhere.
Running, missing, assumed nude. back on the Enterprise, Riker is talking to Admiral Hansen, and he's like, hey, you know, the Borg, they're headed to Earth. We got to do something about that. Are you prepared for that? And Hansen's like, look, don't worry about this. We got it. Okay, I got a plan. We're going to meet the Borg at Wolf 359. Some point in space. Got a bunch of ships there. We got these. we're going to meet you, and we're going to make our stand there. Mm-hmm. So don't even worry about Earth. Okay. But on the Borg cube, they have not found Picard, just his uniform. But what they have found is that a whole bunch of Borg have figured out their location. Mm-hmm. Turns out blowing up those laser tag home bases alerts them to your presence.
Yeah. Duh.
So they're like all squared off in this little circle facing out, and they're just zapping these Borg back and forth, and they're falling.
It's like Space Hulk. Like,
yep. Yeah. Dr. Crusher finally gets to shoot someone with the phaser.
Yeah, that's all she does.
That's all she does in this episode. Yeah. That's so funny. Like, all she wanted to do was shoot a phaser, and that's literally all she does in this episode.
Yeah.
She just goes to the Borg ship and shoots, like, two Borg.
Yeah.
That's it.
Before teleporting out of there.
Yeah.
But what it does do is, she was correct, destroying those nodes dropped the cube out of warp.
Right.
Yes.
And so when they did that, they're able to, like, oh, there it is. Okay. On the Enterprise, they're, like, getting the weapon ready.
Mm-hmm.
So it did help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now the Borg have adapted to this frequency modulation. They have shields. And
they kill a lot of them, though.
They get a few. Yeah. They get a few.
Two each, I believe.
Yeah.
But they do see Captain Picard out in the distance.
What? What?
And he looks totally different.
What?
He's got metal shit all over him.
Well, they do it. They do that slow turn where in profile he's normal looking, but like off colored.
Yeah.
And then he turns and there's the little laser pointer that shoots across.
And Worf.
The music cue.
Oh, and then there's the music sting.
Which is so good.
Yeah, it's one of the best music stings where they do the Star Trek theme, but it's like dissonant and all Borg-y. Weird and Borg-y.
Yep. And Worf tries to run to him, but gets knocked down by a force field, and they're like, okay, we got to get the hell out.
Yeah.
Get off the ship.
I love how the Borg were like hustling towards him, and then when Worf is like, I'm going to run after Picard.
They get out of the way.
They get out of the way. They're like, well, yeah, let's just let him do it.
They know there's a shield there. Yeah. They're not going to worry about it. This dumb Klingon run right into a force field, you idiot.
Idiot.
But yeah, they get off, and they're back on the bridge, and they're talking about what they saw.
Yeah.
And Riker's like, well, Borg have him now. Yeah. And Worf says, no, you don't understand. He is the Borg. Right. That's where we're at.
He was Borg, yeah. He is Borg.
It is too late. And everyone is really freaked out by this.
Shelby still wants to get him.
Yeah. They want to have another mission to go get him. But now the Borg cube is there.
Right.
It's right in front of them.
Yeah. They're chasing them. They're leaving.
Yeah.
The weapon is ready to fire. They know if they get back into warp, that Borg cube is out of there.
They're in warp right now. They were in warp at this moment. They were chasing them.
They're at the same speed.
They're moving at the same speed, but they're like warp 9.6.
Yeah.
Like, they can't hold it for this much longer.
Right, you know? Right. Now is the chance to fire.
Literally.
Any moment now.
They have to fire or else they're going to have to depower.
Yes.
Right?
But before this happens, they're interrupted by a transmission from the Borg cube itself. And they see this huge group of Borg, and one of them walks up in front of all of the others, and it is Captain Picard. Except he does not introduce himself as that. He calls himself Locutus of Borg.
Locutus. Oh, yeah.
And he says that we will assimilate you and destroy the Federation.
Resistance is futile.
Yep. You're going to die.
And then it does the slow pan, the classic slow pan on Riker's face.
Yep. And he's like, Mr. Worf, prepare the weapon.
And he's just fire.
Yeah.
He just goes, Mr. Worf, fire.
And that's it.
Credits.
To be continued.
Oh, yeah. Chills up the spine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Chills up the spine. How awesome is that? Now, put yourself in the shoes of a TV watcher in this time period.
This was like, this episode, like the
holy cow,
the in between this episode and the beginning of the next season, like, people were amped up.
Well, Patrick, Chris,
yeah,
this is where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought this was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, it comes up in the queue, you give it a watch, we set to stun. If we thought it was horrible, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
Oh, set to kill, man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think I need to elaborate.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to elaborate. You know, stakes are high. The tension buildup is great. I'm hooked And they still got to do some good relationship building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So set to kill. I got nothing else to say, man.
Hell yeah. Chris?
Set to kill.
Yeah.
Well, what I love about this episode, what I love about this episode more than just like the like it being a Borg episode and as the Borg man, Big Bad Borg Boy, right? Borg Boy. Like, I love the Borg episodes. But like, I love that it's Riker's story, right?
Yeah.
Like, Picard becomes the cutest. Big changes that are happening, but the overarching plot is very personal, right? It is a personal journey for one character. And like, whenever you think of like any like awesome nerd movies and television and stuff like that, it is never like just the plot of it that is like a great makes it great. Like Guardians of the Galaxy is great because it's personal journeys of these characters.
Yeah,
right?
Baby Groot.
Yeah, Baby Groot. Like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is great because it's about him and his dad and his mom, right? And mm-hmm. it's not about, like, and all of them have, like, personal journeys that they go on through that movie. It's not just, like, we got to kill them, we got to get the MacGuffin and destroy the thing, right? And, like, this is very much that where they take Picard out of the picture. They built it up the entire episode. Like, is Riker prepared to take the chair? And then at the very end of it,
there he is
taking the chair.
Making a tough decision.
And making a tough decision to fire on his captain.
Yes.
Right? So like,
and Picard would have done the same thing.
And that's when you know, like, our boy's grown up.
Hell yeah.
Riker's our boy. He's a full-grown boy now. He's a full-grown man.
Full-grown boy.
He's a full-grown boy.
Well,
how about you, Pat?
I'm going to set to kill.
Oh.
Yeah. Boo, boo, boo. Should I boo my own boo?
Yeah.
Oh, great episode.
Why not?
Love it. I think of this episode every time I think of Next Generation.
Yeah.
For real. When I'm cruising through my thoughts of what I love about Next Generation, this two-parter always comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think Picard, as I watch this, I am reaffirmed as to why I think Picard is the best captain. And it's not even, to your point, his story. But what he's doing in this is he's, even by telling Riker, yo, dude, get out of here and pursue your career. He's being the best version of a captain possible because he is looking out for his career.
Right. He wants to keep them, but mm-hmm. he also wants them to fly and be the people that they need to be.
Yeah. My only beef is my Borg beef.
Yeah. Like, as what are the Borg doing? Yeah. I mean, also Admiral Hansen's weird sexism at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Pretty awkward.
He is like 90 years old.
Yeah, though. Yeah. But like,
it makes me think, is that what men who are that age in that time would just say?
Well, look
at
the original series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they objectify everyone.
Yeah. I mean, but
I mean,
also,
sure, it happens behind closed doors now, even.
This is also great. Like, this and the upcoming next two episodes that you'll see are like, how lucky are we to have Patrick Stewart on the show?
Oh my God.
Like, he lends such a gravity to every scene he's in. And when he comes out as Locutus, you're just like, he delivers it with
that
such.
That man's a Borg.
Yeah, he delivers it with such dry precision that it's chilling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And every scene before that is so lovely. He's such a great actor. So blessed.
Love it. Well, Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah. So a couple things. I do want to give out a just a little thank you to a podcast, 15 Minutes with Lincoln, our friend Brian Duff and Tim Dunn. They gave a little shout out to us, apparently, in their last episode that they recorded.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, how kind.
So I wanted to return the favor. It's a funny little podcast between Brian Duff and Tim Dunn.
TMI Dunn.
Yeah, TMI Dunn. Tim interviews Brian as Lincoln, where Lincoln has been revived to talk about the events of the day.
He's very funny.
It's very funny.
It's a very, very weird Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
it's Brian Duff. It's Abraham Lincoln.
It's Abraham Lincoln doing a podcast.
Have we had Brian on this show?
Not yet. I don't think he's a big Star Trek guy, but he's always a fun guest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. And the Patreon.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Patreon.com/PatTrek. You will have all of our free episodes there, and also we're doing the original series if you throw us $5 a month or more. Mm-hmm. Thank you to all of those that pitch in.
Thank you for supporting our show. Chris, anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, actually. So every, like, once a month we do, I'm with the Cards Against Humanity improv group. So we do improv once a month at the Greenhouse Theater. So check that out. It is pretty amazing. We always have pretty cool guests. Cards Against Humanity creators are there. It sells out pretty quick, so keep an eye out on that on the Greenhouse Theater website. Also look up Competition Kitchen. It is a card game that the Nerdalogs have made that is really, really fun. It's a
I got to play it.
It's super fun. It's a social game where you are chefs in like a Iron Chef type situation.
Oh man, I love Iron Chef.
Yeah, and you get a bunch of ingredients, and some of them are from like actual literal famous chefs that have donated like ideas and suggestions to us.
Hell yeah.
And you get all these ingredients, and then you have to like describe your dish to the panel.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's really fun. So check that out, Competition Kitchen.
Cool. And you can check out the Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive dungeon crawl that I do with my friends. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, and anything else that you can think of by going to thedungeonrats.com, and then we've got to deal with them. We've had all sorts of crazy stuff happen. We fought Dwayne the Rock Johnson Gollum and all sorts of crazy stuff.
A subscript to that, yeah. We fought Dwayne the Rock Johnson Gollum.
Yeah, I said it weird.
Dwayne the Rock Gollum Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
That's what it is.
I like it with the asterisk.
I like it. Yeah.
Oh, he was a rock Gollum? Oh, God.
Wow, you guys met Dwayne the Rock Johnson? Yeah, but it was Gollum.
Yeah. And follow me on Twitter at PatLikesToTweet, because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches. Hot sauce.